Debtors Anonymous is a 12-step program designed to help people break addictive and self-destructive behavior of spending money. Just how out of control is debt in the United States? We bought over $2 trillion on credit last year. Are you a slave to your credit card? Is debt causing you anxiety? You can break the credit card cycle and get control of your money. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The economy of the United States is facing a looming crisis. This crisis isn't because of a lack of goods or services, and it isn't being spawned by unemployment. It is a crisis in the making because the average person is spending more money than he or she makes. And we're not talking about mortgage or car payments, which are a fact of life. The coming economic crisis is being fueled by credit card debt. Just how serious is credit card debt in the United States? David Palmer reports.
In simple terms, Gary, current outstanding debt on credit cards, that's the revolving part that we don't pay off every month, totals nearly $700 billion, up from just $50 billion in 1980. Americans purchase over $2 trillion worth of stuff on credit. Three of five American families can't pay off their credit cards each month. Their running balance averages about $12,000. Senior citizens, once noted for being frugal, are sinking deeper into debt. Their average credit card balance increased 89% between 1992 and 2001. Total consumer debt in the United States comes to over $7,100 per person, and that doesn't include mortgages. It wasn't always that way. Back in the 1950s, banks introduced credit cards to promote customer loyalty. Business grew, and in the 1980s, a series of state and federal deregulations made it possible for banks to charge more interest and operate nationally. Nationwide marketing opened the floodgates. Banks, of course, make more interest when people pay over time. That's why minimum payments on credit cards have shrunk to as low as 1% of the total balance. As one analyst put it, if you can only make the minimum payment on your credit cards, that's when you know debt has become your lifestyle.
Thanks, David. We have on a telephone hookup from Texas, pastor and author of Managing Your Finances, Ken Trebek. Ken, thanks for joining us here on Good News Radio.
Thanks, Gary. It's a pleasure to talk with you and with your listeners today.
Today we're talking about credit card debt. Just how serious is this problem?
Well, according to some sources, the credit card debt of the average U.S. household has risen dramatically in recent years. In 1990, it was around $3,000 per family. Now, by 2001, that had risen to $7,500, and by the middle of 2005, the average credit card debt is somewhere over $8,500. A few years ago, the average credit card interest payments were around 19%, and since about half credit card holders only pay their minimum monthly payments, they're paying an awful lot of finance charges. In fact, in 2001, the last figures I had, it indicated that Americans are spending $50 billion on finance charges in that year alone.
Wow, and that's a real trap. I mean, that can drain someone of all their resources. What should people do to avoid the credit card trap?
Well, Gary, I think it's important first for our listeners to understand that credit cards themselves are not the problem. The problem comes with the use or the misuse of credit cards, not using them in the proper way that causes the financial problems. If you pay off that full balance of the credit card each month, a credit card can be a great tool. It can be a convenience. It can be even a source of extra perks. You know, there are a lot of cards that give cash back or they give frequent flyer miles or some other kind of awards. But that card really becomes financial quicksand if you let the balance carry over from one month to the next, because you then are only paying a portion of the balance, and you begin to pay interest that gets to be compounded month after month after month. In fact, if you only make the minimum payment that the credit card company asks for each month, each item can end up costing you nearly twice the original purchase price. And, of course, during that time, people are usually adding more. They're making more purchases to add to the credit card while they're making their minimum payments. And about half of all credit card payers only do that. They only pay the minimum payment, and so the debt just piles up higher and higher. The answer is really simple, but it's hard. The answer is simple. Don't buy anything on a credit card unless you can pay it off in full when the bill comes. Now, that's hard because it requires some self-discipline.
Well, it's one thing to talk about avoiding the credit card trap. Of course, for many of us, the trap has already sprung. If you're caught up in the credit card cycle, we'll be back to discuss how to get out of that cycle with Ken Trafig right after this.
Money makes the world go round, or so it seems. But paradoxically, even in the richest nations, millions of people struggle to survive economically. Anxiety about money takes an enormous toll on mental and physical health and general well-being. If you have money problems, what can you do about them? Where can you turn for simple, practical help? The Holy Bible offers proven financial advice and economic guidelines. Throughout the Bible, we can find specific financial principles and advice to help us. You need a copy of our easy-to-read booklet, Managing Your Finances. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. This booklet reviews many timeless economic principles of money management from a biblical perspective. In our free booklet, Managing Your Finances, you will see sound principles from the Bible that give excellent financial advice. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We're back with Ken Trafig, author of Managing Your Finances, and I really encourage you to call for a free copy of this easy-to-read booklet. I mean, it's free, and if it can help you get out of debt, it's going to cost you nothing. The number is 1-800-966-9232, 1-800-966-9232. This simple information can help you get control of your money. Ken, before the break, we were talking about how to avoid the credit card trap. Now, that's fine if you're not already up to your ears in debt. How can someone whose credit card debt is out of control get control?
Well, Gary, that's a big job because it calls for even more self-discipline. The first step to try to get control of this problem is to identify where you are, to find out how far in debt you are. And most people just don't have a clear idea of that because they don't bother to write down all their cards and the balance on each of those cards. So that's really a first step. You must know where you are. Then you need to create a plan that will help you pay off all of those outstanding balances. And to do that, you not only have to begin living within your means, but you actually have to buy less than you're making. So you can reduce your debt by paying off those credit cards. You've always got to pay more than the minimum. Pay as much as you can on the credit card. So the basic approach is to stop using the credit cards and then begin paying them off one at a time. And now an obvious point would be to focus on the card that has the highest interest rate first. Get that one paid off and then work on the next one. In fact, some people have even found that they can look for low interest rate cards that would give them a free balance transfer offer, move as much of the debt off the high interest cards as they can to those low interest cards, and then pay off the highest card with what is left and get rid of that one completely. and the process then repeats itself until they pay off the full debt. Now, over the years, I've heard of a number of individuals and various groups offering plans to help people get their credit card debt under control. I might mention one of them is a consumer credit counseling service. However, if you use some type of a service like that, I like to tell people they need to make sure they find out if they charge fees, what the fees are, if they offer educational services, and certainly it doesn't hurt to check with the Better Business Bureau. The reason for that is some or many of these credit counseling services are really in the business of making money, although they may be a nonprofit organization and they can end up with some large fees. So make sure you check out any kind of service that you want to use.
What are some of the reasons that people do have excessive debt?
Well, those can really vary. And in some cases, it's with our economy, you know, going up and down, sometimes it's reduced income or unemployment. Sometimes there can be problems with debt because of divorce. Some unexpected medical bills or other factors that come into play. But according to Consumer Credit Counseling Services, their Gulf Coast chapter, they say that excessive use of credit cards and the poor money management really combine for the most common causes of financial problems. So the problem gets back to a lack of managerial control of your credit and your credit cards. Now, of course, sometimes people are so far in debt they have no chance of ever paying it off. And as a last resort, sometimes people have no choice but to file for bankruptcy and then start over with the determination never to get into that state again. But I would caution people that bankruptcy brings its own set of problems, and so a person should get some sound counseling before taking that drastic step. And in addition to that, bankruptcy laws are being tightened because some have abused that, and they abuse the law by purposely running up debt and then filing bankruptcy, which in essence just simply becomes another form of stealing.
It is interesting, though. I mean, we don't have control over sometimes unemployment or divorce or medical bills, but what you're saying is that the majority of problems people have with finances are things they do have control over. Their own management, yeah. Okay, then explain something. When we talk about managing finances, you hear this phrase often used, impulse buying. Okay, what is impulse buying, and how do you deal with that?
Well, you've asked about the item that's probably the single biggest problem with the use of credit cards, and that is because they are just so convenient. And it is so easy to be lured into buying something you like because you think you can pay it off over several months. You think, well, I don't have to pay all of that right now. I've got several months to pay for this, or perhaps a year. And we're naturally inclined as human beings to think we deserve a special treat here and there. And therefore, it's easy for us to fall prey to the impulse to purchase something that we've not included in our financial planning.
How much do you think advertising plays in driving people to make impulse purchases?
Well, Gary, clearly advertisers understand human nature. And while it's clear that advertising can serve a useful purpose, I mean, it helps us understand the specifics about a particular product, what it can do, and all of the details, most advertising is also designed with a hook. It's designed to hook us on a product we think we can't live without, or make us think we can't live without it. So we end up thinking we deserve it now to the point that our self-discipline is overridden.
In the booklet, Managing Your Finances, which we're offering free to anyone who wants it here today, there's a test. It's called a buying self test. Now, what is exactly a buying self test?
Well, the whole premise behind this self-test is the idea that you need to think, and you need to think very logically and analytically about the purchase that you're contemplating or that you're faced with. First and foremost, you need to ask yourself, is this something I really need? Too often we kid ourselves about our wants and our needs. We think our wants are really needs when they're not. You also need to consider the price and the timing. Is this price reasonable? Or could I find this same product somewhere else for less? Have I comparison shopped for this item, or am I just being sucked into an unplanned purchase because of the way it's being presented? You might also ask, and another good question to ask in this self-test, is this the best time of year to buy this item? And the reason I mention the time of year is because some items are regularly put on sale at various times of the year. If you can wait to purchase that item until it goes on sale, you'll end up saving money, and you'll help your overall spending plan. You might also want to ask yourself, if the price is high and I go ahead and purchase it now, is that truly going to satisfy some inner need?
What do you mean by satisfying an inner need?
Well, that phrase is meant to get a person to think about why they feel compelled to purchase something right now. You know, most impulse buys are made because the advertiser has touched a nerve in us, or they have created a perceived need. For example, they may have found a way to suggest that you deserve this item, you need this purchase, because when you purchase this, it will show the world that you're a bright or a successful person. And the problem with buying something to make you feel good about yourself is that it doesn't last. If you're buying to feel good, tomorrow or next week, the item's going to be old, and then you feel the need to buy something else. In other words, it never really satisfies that inner or emotional need. So the thought is, make people think about this inner need that they're trying to satisfy with a purchase.
We'll discuss more tips on how to get control of your money, but first we want to tell you how to get your free copy of Managing Your Finances.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're back with Ken Trebig, author of Managing Your Finances. I think there's a misconception that people have about what the Bible teaches about managing money. I really do think that many people would be surprised to even find out that the Bible contains many financial principles that still apply today. So, Ken, first, does the Bible teach that it's spiritually superior to be poor? After all, doesn't it say that money is the root of all evil?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. It may surprise some of our listeners, but the Bible does not say that at all. Where that phrase comes from, a root of all evil, is 2 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. But what it says, what it actually says in that verse, is that the love of money is the root of all evil. Or some newer translations say it's a root of all kinds of evil. Now, if you go back to Exodus 19:5, God says that all the earth is his. Now, that includes all the wealth of the earth, all the gold, the silver, precious stones, the natural resources, everything that exists. So God is fabulously wealthy, and some of his servants have had considerable financial resources. So the problem is not money of and by itself. It's how we use finances or money or how we relate to it. For example, Gary, in Luke 12 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." And he then told a parable about a rich man who was focused on hoarding his wealth, and he called him a fool because he was rich physically, but he was spiritually bankrupt.
Okay, let's look at the other side of this. I mean, some have adhered to what has been called the health and wealth gospel. Does the Bible promise Christians unlimited wealth?
Absolutely not. It is true that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus promised that our needs would be met. but he never promised unlimited wealth in this physical life. God does promise spiritual blessings. He offers us eternal life, says we can be joint heirs with Christ. That's an incredible, almost unimaginable future. But that's the focus of his promises, not our financial status here and now, other than to see that our basic needs are met.
Okay, so where would we go in the Bible, or where would a person go to begin to find some sound financial, practical, you know, principles that can be applied today?
Wow, what an open-ended question. How much time do we have?
Limited.
Well, Gary, if I have to give some key principles, I think I would start in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Because in that verse, we find that man is put in the Garden of Eden, and he's told that he is to dress and keep it. I believe there is a basic principle of management and stewardship that is recorded there for humanity that applies to the earth, to all its resources, as well as our personal finances and our personal resources. So I think that's a foundational beginning point. Next, I would suggest that somebody takes an in-depth look at the Ten Commandments, which tell us that God has to come first in our lives. And then he talks about the right of ownership in telling us not to steal or not to even covet what other people have. In other words, God expects us to come by what we have honestly, but to always keep physical items in the proper perspective. They are always to be second to spiritual principles. And I would have to mention the book of Proverbs with all of its financial advice. Chapter 1 says the Proverbs are written to give wisdom, justice, equality, prudence, knowledge, and discretion. And then in that same chapter, it immediately switches to warning against joining with the wicked who are looking to cheat and steal from others. And we're told that those people will come to ruin. Verse 19 very clearly is very clear in applying this to those who are greedy for gain, who are caught up in a covetous lifestyle. And Jesus warned very strongly against the covetous lifestyle, as I mentioned earlier. The book of Proverbs then goes on to mention many specific principles of financial integrity, of hard work. It emphasizes saving, storing up for hard times, as well as for your descendants. And it also talks about sharing with those who suffer setbacks and about being thankful for what you have. And the list goes on. And, of course, these are reiterated in other scriptures, such as in Paul's statement about the love of riches causing all kinds of evil. And the fact that he had learned, personally, had learned to be content with having his basic life needs met.
Well, Ken, this is very important information, and we sure appreciate you joining us here today. We hope people call in and get the booklet that you wrote.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
There are many verses in the book of Proverbs about managing money and the proper approach to wealth. The book of Proverbs teaches that wealth is an evil, but the accumulation of wealth without living a life according to God's purpose is useless. Call now to get your free copy of Managing Your Finances. The toll-free number is 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Managing Your Finances. If you would like to email us here on Good News Radio, and we occasionally read email on the air, both good and bad, and we always like to hear from you, we try to reply when we can, the address is gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. If you would like to hear Good News Radio programs online, just type ucg.org in the search box, and when the page comes up, click on the Good News Radio icon. All the programs are archived and available for you to listen to online. We're back to the same question that we ask every week on the program. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. It's up to you on whether you stay in debt or get out of debt. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Money makes the world go round, or so it seems. But paradoxically, even in the richest nations, millions of people struggle to survive economically. Anxiety about money takes an enormous toll on mental and physical health and general well-being. If you have money problems, what can you do about them? Where can you turn for simple, practical help? The Holy Bible offers proven financial advice and economic guidelines. Throughout the Bible, we can find specific financial principles and advice to help us. You need a copy of our easy-to-read booklet, Managing Your Finances. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. This booklet reviews many timeless economic principles of money management from a biblical perspective. In our free booklet, Managing Your Finances, you will see sound principles from the Bible that give excellent financial advice. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.